This podcast is produced and managed by Kangaroo Fern Media Lab, Australia's independent video and podcast company. We do the podcasting hard bits so you don't have to. We make podcasts easy. Book a call at www.kangaroofern.com. www.kangaroofern.com. This podcast is produced and managed by Kangaroo Fern Media Lab, Australia's independent video and podcast company. We do the podcasting hard bits so you don't have to. We make podcasts easy. Book a call at www.kangaroofern.com. www.kangaroofern.com.
A Guerrilla Podcast Syndicate Production.
Hi guys, I'm so excited to have all of you join me today. Today's episode is all about finding your purpose as you discover your own hashtag best me ever. And with us is Rob Barrett, the co-founder of the industryleaders.org, a top global website that highlights the work of high-performing corporate leaders and entrepreneurs worldwide. A highly accomplished leader himself in the industry, Rob provides a platform for exceptional leaders globally to teach and inspire others through targeted interviews and thought leadership articles. Today, he shares with us his amazing journey from playing football when he was younger to making it his personal goal to connect people, celebrate their successes, and inspire others to lead from within, much like each and everyone featured on the industryleaders.org. Before I begin, I would like to thank my podcast management group, Kangaroo Fern Media Lab, and my producer, Jamie, for this wonderful opportunity to share this inspiring conversation to the rest of the world. Ready? Let's start the show.
This podcast is brought to you by Guerrilla Podcast Syndicate, powered by Kangaroo Fern Media Lab. Kangaroo Fern is Australia's independent video and podcast management agency with the mission to help individuals and entrepreneurs to start their own podcast and harness the power of podcasting. Book now via www.kangaroofern.com. A feel-good podcast filled with beautiful thought-provoking reflections.
What is it in your life that you want to become? Who do you want to be?
And inspiring soulful stories to help you become your authentic, unapologetic, grandest version of yourself. Your own hashtag best me ever.
You begin to ask yourself why. You find yourself lonely, depressed, feeling unworthy, unloved, doubting yourself. And asking this question, why me? Why did it have to happen to me?
Hosted by Global Master Coach and international best-selling author, Mike Sellis.
Hi, Robert. Thank you for obliging for this interview with me today. How are you?
You're very welcome, Mike. It's my pleasure. I'm really good, thank you. Yeah, the sun's shining here, and it feels like summer's arrived. So yeah, all is good, thank you.
Oh, wow. That's good to know. So let's get the ball rolling. Robert, I'm sure a lot of people right now are very curious, how was it growing up for you? How were you as a child?
Good question. I feel like you'd need to ask my family this one. So I can't give you my own unbiased opinion, but in my own unbiased opinion, I feel like I was just your average kid. I think I used to grow up, used to spend most of my time outside playing football with friends. Yeah, I think I was probably no more naughty or mischievous than the next child. I probably had my moments. But yeah, I think all in all, I was probably an okay kid, I think.
Would you remember what your childhood dream was?
My childhood dream this is really easy. It was always, always to be a footballer, a professional footballer. It was my dream, my passion, my obsession. Yeah, I mean, I used to spend every waking minute playing football when I could, in and out of school. And it's a dream that I didn't really give up on. I mean, I'm in my late 30s now, well past a football career, but you know, I still harbor dreams, you never know. But I think that was easily my biggest childhood dream was to go on and be a professional footballer at some level in the UK.
What was it about football that you liked so much?
Good question. And you know, neither of my parents were big football fans or even sports fans. My sister is the same. I used to drag them to games every now and again. And sometimes they would ask like the same question, you know, what is it about football? And to be honest, I think football is just kind of representative of what sport is for me. I feel like it's a great outlet, like it's a great release, like from normal life. It's a complete distraction. Also, I think the team aspect of it is brilliant for me. You know, I like to be around other people that are kind of, it sounds very cliche, but sort of working towards one goal, one vision or one dream, like to really achieve something. And I think there's a, when you get the right chemistry and the right mix, which doesn't always happen, it's the same in business. You know, you need the right people around you. You can't just wave a magic wand and create things. But in terms of sport, I think if you can create that energy and that chemistry in the room to get everybody, you know, not with different personalities, but they might not even like each other, but they're all working for the same thing, it's very powerful. And when that happens, it's addictive. You know, it's really addictive. And then you mix in the social side of things with that. I spent a lot of my life moving around the world, you know, living in different places. And one of the first things I always did was to look for a new football team. You instantly meet like 15, 20 new people. And that's very powerful. You know, these people can introduce you to life in your new city, in your new home. It's a really easy way to settle. So I think for me, like it started out as a childhood dream that it was something I wanted to do for a living. And then when I realized that was probably not going to happen, it just became
not
something
yet,
that I
not
kept
yet.
Doing.
Don't say
not yet.
That.
That's
not
true.
Yet.
That's true. I've probably still got a good season left in me at the very bottom level somewhere. But it's something that is really powerful. And I think, you know, I would not necessarily push, but I would certainly encourage my own kids in the future when they land is to get involved in sport because it's a very powerful thing.
Yeah, it's so amazing to see how much influence football has on you in terms of, you know, how you go about things, how you make it a priority to make other footballers when you go around the world. That's such a very powerful experience. So right now, fast forward to the present, Rob, what is the biggest influence that football still has on you as you pursue your current career? What's your current space like right now?
I think at this point, I can definitely separate sport from my professional life. I still play, it's a great release and everything, but I think in terms of influences, my biggest influence now is me, the kind of life that I want. You know, I'm a big believer and very interested in the subject of purpose, about why we do things, why we get out of bed in the morning, and what it is that drives us to do the things we do. And I think as humans in the world we live in, it's very easy to lose sight of your purpose. And for very, you know, forgivable reasons. I think you know, you can leave school and some of us go to university, some of us get jobs straight away, but you can just get very quickly sucked into the very fast moving current of a career. And it might not be something that you want to do, but eventually, you know, you climb the ladder, you make more money. And I think, you know, time can move very, very quickly at that point. And for me, I think the biggest thing that drives me is purpose, is what is it that I want to be doing with my life? How do I want my life to look? Who are the people that I want around me on that journey? And where do I want to be eventually? And obviously realizing that I'll never get to eventually, but the fun is in trying, is in that journey.
It's very interesting that you mentioned that, because a lot of people right now, and even our listeners, a lot of them haven't figured out their purpose yet. And normally based on experience as well, there has to be this one turning point that, you know, that would shake you really hard. And then you would begin to question yourself about your existence and why you're here. Tell us something about that moment that made you realize that, you know, you begin to ask that powerful question, why am I doing all these things that I'm doing right now? And what am I meant to do?
I love this question, but I also hate it because it really makes you reflect on things. But I think for me, there's been kind of probably two major, I don't know if they're turning points, but definitely moments to reflect and decide whether I'm on the path I want to be on. I think The first was I lost both my parents in a relatively short space of time. When I was an adult, you know, I was an adult. I was in the world of work and senses, very self-sufficient. We've got a very close family unit, you know, my parents and my sister, and it was devastating to lose them. So relatively young for both us and them, and very unexpected. So that really stopped me in my tracks and made me think, okay, well, if people as young and fit as them can go so soon, what does the future hold for me? And what do my next 20 to 30 years look like? And do I want to be doing what I'm doing right now? And I think at the time when I asked myself that question, the answer was no. And that was when I really started to, in sort of the stuff I was doing professionally, sort of gentle nudges into other directions of what I was doing personally. One of which, you know, in terms of profession was to start a business, which was a huge turning point in terms of the amount of things I learned, but it was also a real distraction from that loss. It was a chance for me to really throw myself at something new and something completely different, which was at times terrifying, but at times very exciting. So that I think was one. And I think another huge challenge, another huge sort of moment to sort of reflect has been the last 12 to 18 months, really. I think with COVID, I think it's just been such a shock to the system for everybody around the world and for all kinds of businesses. I mean, for the very, very few of us, like Jeff Bezos, I think they've really thrived throughout COVID. But for everybody else, I think it's been at times a struggle, and apart from anything, it's been just kind of a frustrated mental slog. I think being in a situation where you have absolutely no control, your life is dictated as to when, even when you can leave the house, depending on where you live. I know for us, we spent the bulk of our, me and my partner spent the bulk of our lockdown in a city where you could only go out according to the number on your passport. So if you had an odd number, you could go out on an odd numbered day. And if you had an even number at the end of your passport, then you could go out on an even numbered day. And that kind of change for someone like, well, for anyone, but for someone like me, who's very independent, very sort of free spirited, very free willed, and loves to travel and to see things and to experience things. You know, you're quintessential millennial. I live for experiences, and to not be able to leave the house on certain days of the week, it's very tough. And obviously running a business through that has been a real challenge. But I feel like we're on the other side of that now, and things are a lot more positive now. I think 2021 and beyond, I think we can really start to be very optimistic about the future.
That's wonderful. I'm actually a firm believer that, you know, that everything happens for a reason, and what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Right now, Rob, in your current space, we know that a lot of, you know, bad things have happened when it comes to the entire pandemic experience. Did it ever have a silver lining for you in terms of how you view your purpose? Did it give birth to something that actually made you realize that, hey, it ain't so bad?
Yeah, I think it probably did. First and foremost, it actually made me learn about purpose. I think that was something that I probably wouldn't have done, or maybe wouldn't have done for a few years, until I naturally slowed down as someone, you know, much in the future. I think I've probably done things in the past 12 months and read things in the past 12 months that I probably would have done only after retiring, if I ever get there. I think the pandemic has created opportunities for me to slow down, to take stock, to look again at, you know, was I on the right path? Am I going in the right direction? To learn about the subject of purpose itself, which I think for some people might not be very interesting, but for me, it fascinates me, because it really is it's what makes the world go round. You know, people talk about money and everything else, but actually, if you find and can understand what your purpose is, then all of a sudden everything else becomes secondary or additional, just fluff, basically, that really doesn't matter as much. So yeah, I think the pandemic has been a real opportunity for me personally to look at what I'm doing with my life and think, yeah, okay, this is what I want to be doing, you know, just keep going, basically.
I love it how the entire experience made your journey even more meaningful as you aligned with your purpose. I think it actually allowed you to lead from within. A testament of that would be the things that's on your plate right now, like Quantitative and the industryleaders.org. Tell us more about those.
Like what you hear so far? Make sure you never miss an episode by clicking the subscribe button now. This podcast is possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Now back to the show.
Quantitative started actually in March of 2020. So right at the start of the pandemic, it was either the best time or the worst time to start a new business.
Exactly.
And Quantitive started out as a nod to my experience in construction. You know, I spent nearly 20 years working in the construction industry. Didn't leave it to do other things, but I definitely took a sharp right out of the industry. For instance, to start a restaurant when I was in Hong Kong. I've obviously got 20 years around experience that I didn't want to waste. I wanted to use, and Quantitive really was a nod to that. And it's been able to connect people in the UK and Europe to specialists that I've worked with and that I know of in Asia in the construction industry. So basically construction professionals. So it helps people at both ends. It really helps to get work done in the Western Hemisphere, potentially more quickly or overnight, you know, cutting through time zones. And it offers people in Asia the opportunity to meet new clients that they perhaps wouldn't have met otherwise. And the industry leaders kind of grew from that, actually. So the industry leaders started out as an online publication to really shine a light on people within the construction industry, because there are some amazing people within that industry, some very, very knowledgeable men and women that I've met on my journey. And I feel like they don't necessarily get the recognition or celebration that perhaps you might get if you worked in fintech or in tech or in media. So I wanted to really try and help shine a light and spotlight some of the work that these people were doing. But then it's just mushroomed. We've grown into other industries like coaching, which is thankfully how I've come across fantastic people like you, Mike. We've grown into health and well-being, media, tech. We've now become one of the up-and-coming kind of go-to publications for not just for C-suite and executive level people, but for people that are, I guess, like me and you now, and definitely like we probably were 5-10 years ago, kind of up and coming aspirational people that want to make a difference in the world, even if it's just in their own lane, in their own industry, but people that really want to do something. So what we try and do is we publish, we speak to these leaders and publish interviews with them so that other people can then learn from them. And something else that's very powerful that we're doing is publishing thought leadership content. So we publish our own in-house thought leadership content, and we also work with some of the leaders that we've interviewed, and then they provide content for us as well that we can then share. And then it works for them because they have a platform of thousands of readers around the world, you know, Asia, the UK, US, Middle East. They can then spread their message, and then it gives people on the other end, the reader, the chance to learn from the lessons that these leaders around the world are sharing. It's become something much bigger than I imagined, but also the industry leaders really does feed my purpose. It's helping people, and you know, we're all learning at the same time.
Indeed. A lot of people right now see the results of you living your purpose, in a sense that you have a successful company and this amazing online publication that actually connects people from all over the world and inspires others to become industry leaders themselves. But what others don't know, and they may be curious about this as much as I am, what are the challenges that you actually had to face since you established this business? The moment the pandemic started, I could definitely relate to this, because when everything else was shutting down, here we are putting up our own and, you know, just what the heck, let's just do this. So what do you think was the greatest challenge that you had to face, and how did you overcome it?
It's a good question. And where to start with the answer? I think the biggest challenge with any business at the start, unless you have a huge network of people that you're already connected to, and you know, perhaps you have some relative fame in your field. But I think the biggest challenge for any business is the fact that no one cares about you. I'm going to try not to swear on your podcast, but sometimes it's hard. I think no one gives a shit about a new business. You know, no one really cares what you're bringing out into the world. And I think it can be a real challenge to rise above that noise, rather than just, you know, hanging out a shingle and hoping that somebody's gonna see it and be attracted to what you've got to offer. And I think doing that at the start of the pandemic was very, very tough, because there was so much else going on in the world. So that was, I think, one of the biggest things was being noticed, and also just driving people to the platform when you've got a global pandemic going on and no one quite knows when projects are going to shut down, are going to reopen, people that might have worked on a project and are moving back to their hometown to be with their family. So it's definitely been an interesting ride.
I can imagine. Curiously, Rob, what was on your mind since then? What were you thinking that kept you going?
What was on my mind that kept me going? Well, I think the main thing that kept me going was I was excited about it. You know, I was excited about this opportunity to do something that clearly served a big gap in the market that I'd lived. You know, as a professional in the industry, I'd seen this problem. So I know that this is a big issue. So I think that was the main thing that kept me going. In many ways, I think the pandemic helped focus me because there's nothing else to do, right? You know, we were locked up, so it was a chance to get things done. You know, I think a lot of people, and there was a lot of content out there at the time that said, you know, use this time. You know, you can either sit and watch Netflix for 12 hours a day and eat chips, or you can start that project you've been putting off, or you can try and get fit, or whatever other myriad of things that you might not ordinarily have had time to do, you now had time to do. So I think the pandemic was a great opportunity to try things and to experiment.
I can definitely relate to what you said right now, because each and every day that you live your purpose, you're actually focused on making each day work out. You're actually excited to anticipate whatever's next on your plate today. So on that note, Rob, having achieved all this, what's next for you? What can we look forward to?
From me, you can look forward to me growing industry leaders, I think, is something that I'm very passionate about. We're moving very, very quickly with that, and we're seeing a lot of traction. So I think, you know, over the next sort of 6 to 12 months, I think you can expect to see much more content from us in terms of, you know, thought leadership stuff. We're also now starting to produce video content. And then towards the back end of the year, I'm hoping that we'll be able to get out some kind of publication in terms of like a one-off annual magazine or something. There's plenty to come. And I mean, we're hoping to get you involved in that as well, Mike. So firsthand, you'll be able to experience that, which is great. So from me and from the company, I think you're hopefully going to see plenty of growth and plenty of content online.
Wow. Okay. It sounds so amazing and very inspiring for all our listeners right now. And on that note, Rob, there are a lot of people right now, you know, who are holding themselves back, thinking that they can't live their purpose during challenging times like this. What would you tell them?
I would say it's perfectly normal, or at least I hope it is, because I have the same fears. If it's not, then we're all in the same boat. We're all crazy together. But I think if you're having problems living your purpose and living the life you want to live, I think one thing the pandemic has taught me is that you can't eat the apple in one bite. You need to take small bites. You need to just do the right things on that day. You know, get out of bed. And if something that's really helped me is that I heard on a podcast during the pandemic, you know, it said, what one thing can you do today? And it doesn't have to be a life-changing thing, but what one thing, if you don't get anything else done, what one task, if you tick it off the list, what wins the day? So I live my life around that. I've got a to-do list every day that never seems to get smaller, but I usually have one job every day that, okay, I'll focus on that, I'll get that done. And if I get that ticked off, then okay, I've won the day, and anything else is a bonus. So I think for me, advice I would give people is reflect. You know, if you're not happy with where you are, reflect on what it is you want from your life. Try and align yourself to what that is, and that will be your purpose. You know, why do you get out of bed? You know, who are you living for? Is it your kids? Is it your cats? Is it the plants in your garden? You know, what is it that you're living for? And what do you want your life to look like? And then design it around that. And I think once you have those in place, then it's all about dedication. It's just about doing the right things. Get out of bed, do that one job that changes your day, and then just keep doing it. Just rinse and repeat. And anyone who's got to the top of the mountain, as I like to call it, in leadership, in entrepreneurship, in business, and in their personal lives, they've all got one thing in common, is that they don't stop learning. And with that, it's dedication. They're curious. They ask questions. You know, what am I doing today? Why am I doing it? How does this feed into the bigger picture? And then they do the same thing the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And eventually, you know, the results come. So I think for me, the advice would be just look at what you're doing, and then align yourself to that, and then just be dedicated. Just keep doing the same things. Be consistent.
There you go. Yes, and learning indeed helps you to keep growing in the process. Before we end, simply because I'm not letting go of you becoming a football player someday, you know, I would hold on to that. But just wondering, if there was one important life lesson that football taught you, what is that important life lesson that you can apply in your current space right now?
Great question. Most definitely not professional footballer. I feel like I'm straying outside of my lane here, so I'll try and keep it general and keep it to sports. But one thing that sports has taught me, I would say, is the power of teamwork and being able to work around different personalities, different ways of looking at the world, different ways of understanding certain situations. I think it's about being able to shape all of that chemistry and push it towards one common goal, I think is important. I think that's something that I've definitely learned as someone in a corporate career, as someone in a managerial position, and as someone who owns a business. I think it's very important to harness all of those things, push towards that common goal. So I think, yeah, that's what sport has taught me, definitely.
And we would definitely love working towards your common goal as well, Rob. So on that note, how can interested parties contact you? How can they reach you in case they have a question or, you know, they want a piece of advice about football or business or the industry leaders?
Well, for a start off, if anyone wants to ask me about football, I would say probably find somebody who's much more equipped to answer those questions, because that definitely isn't me. I'm your quintessential armchair fan. But I would say if you want to reach out and speak to me about business, leadership, entrepreneurship, or about getting yourself interviewed or published on The Industry Leaders, you can either contact me through www.theindustryleaders.org, or you can get me on LinkedIn. I'm quite active on LinkedIn. So you just search for me. My name is Robert Barrett on LinkedIn. That's B-A-R-R-A for Apple, double T.
There you have it, guys. Thank you so much, Rob, for joining us. It was such a wonderful experience interviewing you today.
The pleasure is mine, Mike. I'm honored to be part of it, and I hope at least one person got a shred of value out of what we've just spoken about.
Oh, definitely a lot of them, and trust me, they would ask you about football thereafter. Kidding aside, now, moving forward, everyone, so that's it for today. So we had Robert Barrett, the director for Quantitative and the industryleaders.org on board today. And for you guys, I want you to just like and follow and subscribe to my podcast. And if you can, do reach out via my social media pages and my website at www.coach-mikecellis.com. On that note, always remember, wherever you are right now, it's okay, simply because you're on your way to become your own hashtag best me ever. My name is Coach Mike Cellis. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by Guerrilla Podcast Syndicate, powered by Kangaroo Fern Media Lab. Kangaroo Fern is Australia's independent video and podcast management agency with the mission to help individuals and entrepreneurs to start their own podcast and harness the power of podcasting. Book now via www.kangaroofern.com. We are Independent Podcast Network. We are Guerrilla Podcast Syndicate. Would you like to hear your brand while supporting quality podcasts? Contact us now at advertise@guerrillapodcastsyndicate.com.